Now, it's only fitting that our first episode should be about some of the deaths in The Punisher. Allow me to introduce you to none other than, drumroll please, Ben Barnes, the impossibly handsome Englishman who is known for his work in Westworld, Chronicles of Narnia, well, and most importantly, as Billy Russo, a.k.a. Jigsaw, spoiler alert, but hey, the show came out a few years ago, in The Punisher. Now, later in the show, I'll be sitting down with the utterly charming Australian actor Daniel Weber, who plays Jesse Evans, currently in Billy the Kid, Vince Neil in The Dirt, and Lee Harvey Oswald in 11-22-63. Man, that guy's got some range. But to me, well, he's best known as tortured army vet Lewis Wilson in The Punisher. And to round off the episode, my good buddy and all-around dreamboat, man, I have a lot of man crushes, don't I? Jason Moore, who plays Jack in the Netflix series First Kill, and, of course, one-legged Curtis Hoyle on The Punisher. Now, to kick things off, I thought it best to maybe go into a little therapy session with my own killer. Well, I mean, Agent Sam Stein's killer. Yeah, I'm talking about the man himself, one and only Ben Barnes, on location in Budapest shooting Shadow and Bone Season 2.
Ben, hi.
Hi, pal.
Are you in Hungary? Where are you?
I am. I'm in Budapest in Hungary.
Thanks for killing me, by the way. Thanks again, all these years later.
It was an absolute pleasure.
I know. I'm sure it was.
We're very sad about it.
What's very sad about
it? I just think we should start this off the right way with honesty and truth. And I remember when we did the read-through for the episode where you were going to be killed, you looked like a puppy that had been kicked.
Do you remember, though, what I did in that read-through? That nobody else knew that I was going to die. Maybe you knew I was going to die. I don't remember. But pretty much nobody else knew I was going to die. Everyone was reading that last page where it's like, you know, Billy stabs him and blah, 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 and stuff. And you remember I stood up and I went, what the fuck?
You did. I do remember that. And I remember thinking, why is he being so dramatic? He already knew, because I already knew, because I had been working with the stunts department for a week or so to try and find a cool way to do it. Because I feel like once you have it in your mind that your fate is sealed, I think, at least for me, when I found out that I'm for the chop in various movies or TV shows, the one thing that you want is to go out with some kind of memorable moment, some kind of bang, some kind of, you know, water cooler moment that you'll at least be remembered.
Yeah. I think we achieved that. So you knew because you were practicing all your delightful stabbing moves. Nice. I will say you were very sweet and gentle on the day. What I remember very distinctly is how apologetic you were. You were continuously apologetic, like while we were filming it.
I'm very British. We do like to say sorry a lot.
Well, you're very British. It's true. But you were so sweet. And I felt bad that you felt bad. But I was like, no, this is great. And like, this is exciting and I'm fine with it. I just remember you kept saying to me, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I have to do this.
I felt like it had fallen to me to be the one who was sort of responsible for your demise, even though obviously I had not been the one to write it. And obviously I got to experience almost exactly what you felt like.
In season two, you mean?
In the second season, where I only found out over halfway through shooting the season that I was also for the chop. So I and I thought about you a lot at that moment as well. John Bernthal, who played The Punisher, was actually very much the same, I think, as I had been with you on the day of my death. He gave a sort of, it was one of the final days, I think, that I shot too. So he gave this sort of lovely little speech to the crew about, I don't know what the point of carrying on doing this is if we're just going to kill you off like this. Which was very, really a sweet kind of moment. I remember it being very important to me to define what those last few words would be, because you feel like you've gone on this journey. People might have been able to watch it, you know, over the course of a few days, but you've put in sort of years of effort into this, into these characters, and you really do start to, start to feel this affinity for them, even if they're murderous psychopaths. You know, you want somebody to be on their side, and you're the only one charged with that. I don't know if you felt that when you did find out you were going out, you're like, right, I want this to be a great moment.
The thing I wanted the most out of anything was to have a memorable death and to say, like, okay, if I'm going to die in this thing, which is like a dream of mine to be in one of these sort of iconic comic book style things, because as a kid, this is just what I loved, and I still love all this shit. But like, I said to myself, as long as that death, you know, feels special, then I'm cool with it. To set the scene one more time, Sam Stein, who I played, who was this Homeland Security badass, or at least he became one. In the beginning, he was a big schlubby donut eating.
You thought he was one, and that's what's important.
Thank you so much, man. it's like the closest I'll ever get to being a badass on film, potentially. So I have to like relish in the fact that...
You're very badass. I remember there was a sort of sequence that the Marines were calling the Five of Nine, with all these different places that you could stab someone to kill them, and you do them in a certain order. And I have a video of me sort of training doing that, where it was even many, many more stabs than we ended up doing. But I think in the end, it was the one in, like you say, the artery in the neck, which I thought that was the best way to do that. And I remember you coming to the stunt room for us to train that so that we could make sure it was really violent, because I think that was the way you want to remember it. But also, compared to all the other superhero shows, that was what we kind of had over those other shows, was the leeway to be more graphic in terms of the violence.
First of all, they rigged me, you know, they rigged me with like a hose in me with blood. But that was when I was actually laying down, like after you left me and you sort of like dropped me like a rag doll. If you say, what's your line that you say to me? Something about me being, you say, who's, come on, just say it.
Who's pretty now?
Yes, who's pretty now?
It was obviously a moment, because I've had friends, but also just people in the streets in the year following that first season coming out, people kind of saying, who's pretty now?
They gave you a nice sort of like Arnold Schwarzenegger, hasta la vista line. Yeah. I remember we had to shoot that. It was really cold. It was in the back of that studio space.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was in Greenpoint in Brooklyn. And then I remember I was wearing like a wetsuit underneath my clothes, because once you drop me, they were just going to pump blood through this wetsuit. And like you had said, in the back of your neck where you were like seeping blood, they were just going to seep blood out of my entire body, and I was going to be left in this giant pool of blood. The thing I remember the most, though, is when you were fake stabbing me, because you didn't actually have anything you were stabbing with. You were just doing the moves.
No, there was a spring back knife that was functional.
Really?
Yeah, but like one
am
of
those, I remembering this wrong?
Like one of those ones you have when you're a kid. You could see it flick behind my head, and it was like rigged so that when I stabbed you, it would just go back into my arm.
I had kind of a gritted look on my face where I was like, yeah, you're killing me, but I'm going to be pissed off about it. And then I think I spit blood in your face, and I apologized, and you said, oh, that's fine, and concrete.
Is that the only time you've been killed on television?
Yes, it's the only time I've been killed since Chicago Med.
This is like being broken up with in a really dreadful way. It very often works out that your death scene is the last thing that you film. I don't know if you found that, but I have found it's very often one of the final things you film. Although I have done movies where I've been killed about halfway through the shooting schedule, which is always very strange. I got shot by Harvey Keitel through a desk, but because of his availability, we had to do it about halfway through. And then I thought, well, okay, now I have to go back and be alive again. And
alive with Harvey Keitel, and like appreciate the fact that he's not killing you, or just like ignore the fact.
No. He was gone. That was the last thing he did.
Oh, I see. What was that?
It was a film called By the Gun, which is a small sort of Boston gangster film, which I think about seven people saw. But it was very memorable because when he rapped for the final time on the final scene, he sort of turned to the crew and he just went, see you all in hell, and turned it off and walked out. And everyone just looked utterly bewildered, but it was kind of an amazing, he was playing a sort of a gangster boss. So I just thought that was a very boss move. You know, those little dream things you want to do as an actor, and I got to do so many of them in The Punisher, like walk away in slow motion from an explosion, things like that. But I remember when I got shot by Harvey Keitel, that they did that thing where they put a blood sort of bag underneath your back, and then you lie down on it so that it slowly seeps out. As you're dead and trying to keep your eyes open, the blood slowly seeps out across the floor and you're just trying not to blink. And I was like, oh, I want to do one of those deaths where you don't blink.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, it'd be so much fun to do every type of classic movie death, like falling from a building like Hans Gruber in Die Hard, or getting stabbed in a sword fight like Count Rugen in Princess Bride. But as it does come for us all, death came for Billy Russo at the end of Punisher season two.
When it came to my death, it sort of happened in two stages, because I had the revenge for your death which was Madani shooting me. And then we both tried to choke each other out simultaneously, and we were both just coughing and spitting blood all over each other, which was really quite disgusting. And then we both passed out at the same time, and then when she recovers, I have disappeared and I've gone to find a doctor. I think she's dead. And then eventually, almost a full episode later, Frank kind of finds me bleeding and pathetic on the floor.
Fade in. Interior. Basement of St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church. Night. Billy Russo, age 41, bloodied and almost on the verge of passing out, lowers his phone after calling and begging Curtis Hoyle to be with him as he dies. In the distance, we hear a door close.
Kurt,
Billy croaks.
Curtis, here, I knew you'd come and...
Billy stops mid-sentence as he notices the large figure at the door.
Frankie?
Billy asks, confused. Frank Castle, a.k.a. the Punisher, also bloodied, walks slowly towards Billy. Billy starts to laugh maniacally, then stops as he coughs up blood.
Of course it's you. I should have known.
Frank says nothing. If I'm gonna be with someone, I'm happy that it's you. Frank stares intensely at Billy.
Frank, whatever I've done, I'm...
Without letting Billy finish, Frank pulls out his gun and shoots Billy 2 times in the chest. As Billy's body slumps down to the floor, Frank holsters his gun and slowly walks back and exits through the door he entered from.
When Frank's about to kill you at the end of season 2 of Punisher, did you have a thought in your head of what you would have said to him?
I'd written a sort of slightly longer version of what it would have been, but I still wanted it to be cut off halfway through. In the original version of the scene, I didn't say anything at all. Frank walked in and just immediately shot me. And I begged our showrunner to let me say a little something. And he kind of fought me quite hard on it until we sort of found this compromise, which, because I said the important thing for me was I wanted to have a secret. I wanted to have this Lost in Translation moment at the end where Bill Murray whispers in Scarlett Johansson's ear of something that you don't know, but you know it's intimate. And so I think there's going to be something. It sort of almost didn't matter what it was going to be, I realized when I was chatting with him about it, because I just wanted it to be something that would have felt redemptive, would have felt apologetic, would have felt like a man who in his last breaths wanted to say he was sorry for the pain that he'd caused him, but it is just too late. I wanted to tell him what he meant to him, and I'd written out a bunch of different sort of more poetic ways of saying those things, but I thought it was very important that he didn't get to say it. I thought that was actually very smart. But it was along the lines of, you know, my idea was to have something that was tantamount to an apology.
Yeah. Sorry for killing your children, your wife, ruining your life, your career, making you into a fugitive, etc. How much? There's really no apology that fits that.
Any emotional stability you ever had. But, you know, I made him famous in a way, yeah. So you're welcome.
Yeah, that is true.
When I found out halfway through the season that I was going to die, I was very sad because I really enjoyed playing the character. I was really enjoying where it was going in terms of this sort of, like, you know, frustrated, vaguely psychotic confusion. You know, there were so many opportunities to make him different things, to have moments of tenderness and moments of just abject fury. And having a character like that who's so unpredictable is kind of the dream often. So the idea that I wouldn't get to do any more of that was, yeah, that was that. I think when you die in a film, you know it's coming, you know it's happening, you know you've read the whole script and you can almost sort of look forward to that being an exciting day. But in a TV show, you know, when you're away shooting a TV show, it kind of becomes your life. To quote Oscar Wilde from The Picture of Dorian Gray, another movie in which I meet my end, some things are more precious because they don't last. I think that's true of, you know, playing a character like this. And I think that's what's so special about these connections that we make in these roles that we play, because they are necessarily finite in terms of our experience of them, but also people's experience of watching them. I'm always very sad when a TV show that I'm really enjoying, when I get to the last episode, I sometimes wait before I watch the last episode because I don't want it to finish. And I think the experience of doing it can sometimes be a lot like that, but heightened.
So you were in the HBO show Westworld, and what's interesting about your death in that series is they kill your character Logan off screen with an implied drug overdose. So let me just set the scene for everyone who haven't seen Westworld. It's a futuristic sort of Wild West fantasy park, and guests can come in and interact and even kill or abuse what are essentially androids who look and feel exactly like humans. Now, of course, the androids eventually gain consciousness and all hell breaks loose like any good sci-fi story, but your character, Logan Delos, is a human who is a very dark character, and he just loves killing these human-like androids and abusing them.
I've never had more fun than I did with this sort of gun-toting, you know, crotch-scratching, you know, hat-toting character. Everyone else was concerning themselves with ideological questions and sort of just trying to figure out the meaning of life and what does it really mean to be a conscious living being and wrestling with all these things. And I was just trying to work out how to be the naughtiest I could possibly be. So that was the most fun.
Logan operated at a completely base level. Like, at least Billy Russo had some, like, method to his madness. Logan was just, like, unhinged in that world.
Yeah, I think he was just having a good time the way he knew how. But I remember that the showrunners, Jonah Nolan, had sat me down the day before I started filming. So I was cast very late and just said, right, he is pure id. He is, you know, he's led stomach and groin. There is no filter. There is no ego in this man. It's pure id. And I remember going home and looking up what id meant. And then coming back in the next day and sort of thinking, right, I got it.
You definitely got it. You were so good on that show.
Okay, folks, time out. I'm going to temporarily take off my host hat. There we go. Sorry, it's pretty heavy. And now we're going to go into a segment I'm calling
Let's Google This Shit!
In all honesty, I wasn't 100% sure what having id meant. And just in case you were wondering the same, I thought maybe I would just turn to the interweb for a little guidance. Okay, so here we go. According to good old Sigmund Freud, the human personality has three components consisting of the id, the ego, and the superego. Now, the id is the part of the mind that contains all the urges and impulses, notably sex and aggression. So, yeah, I'd say Logan was definitely pure id. Okay, school's over. Let's bring it back full circle to The Punisher.
Did you get a little send-off when you died? Did they give you a little cake? They gave me a little cake with a bunch of knives and brains in it.
We continued that tradition. We did. I also got a death cake on that day.
Yeah, that was amazing. I do want to end this by asking you, do you have a favorite death in the history of cinema or television?
In the history of any cinema, that's a big old question.
I mean, anything. No super pressure yet.
Well, I think about it. What is yours?
Oh, God. I have so many deaths. The TV death that hurt me the most was in The Wire, when Omar got shot at the end of The Wire.
Yeah, okay, Williams. Bless his heart. He was brilliant.
Yeah, he was wonderful. He lived right next door to me. He lived in the building next door to me in Brooklyn. I used to see him all the time. Most amazing actor. I always used to see him, and I wanted to go up to him. I revered him so hard. But that death, when... What a powerful death, right? He manages to escape the cops, the criminals, all the people that are after him, and killed by another kid wanting, you know, as a wannabe sort of criminal in that neighborhood, just showing how the endless cycle of violence in some of these neighborhoods. That was an intense death for me.
I'm going to give you an actor who I think arguably one of my absolute heroes, one of my favorite actors of all time. But I can think of two deaths of his which are jumping into my mind. Which in Harry Potter and also in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, was the late, great Alan Rickman, who I think is so moving when he dies, obviously as Snape, after performing that, like we said, like in this very intimate way, after a decade of films that you have invested in him in one way, and then you realize the wool has been pulled over your eyes, unless you've read the books, which obviously everyone in the world has.
And you get no time with him at all on screen to really appreciate who he actually was.
And then he is, you know, killed by that by the snake, and they're collecting the tears, which are very beautiful. But one of the greatest on-screen deaths of all time, so hammy, takes 15 minutes, is in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, where he's clattering about into bits of castle and sputtering and spewing and groaning and moaning. And it is so over the top and so brilliant. So I'm going to give it to that death because that's great.
So the great Ben Barnes of many, many things, the man who murdered me. It's not every day you get to confront the person who murdered you. And I've done it and I've survived my next one-on-one confrontation with Ben.
It's the first step to a full and healthy recovery.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you for all your help with this.